Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainis Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin our shiur today on Daf Tes Zayin, 4 lines from the top, it happens from time to time that, unfortunately, as human beings, we do make mistakes, and we made a brief error on Daf Tes Vav Omed Aleph in the Mishnah when we were learning the Mishnah, but more accurately, Tes Vav Omed Beis. The Mishnah started on Tes Vav Omed Aleph, but on Tes Vav Omed Beis, we made reference prematurely to the Anshei Maimod when dealing with the fasting during the first 3 and the middle 3 Tanios, and the last 7. The Mishnah spoke about the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av. Those are Kohanim. The Anshei Maimod, which are the representatives of Klal Yisrael, they come into the discussion a little bit later in the Mishnah, on the third wide line with regard to the preparation for the week of service and representation, where the expectation was to take haircuts and wash clothing before showing up in the Beis Hamikdash. However, the section of the Mishnah that preceded that, dealing with the issue of fasting, that appears to be limited to the Kohanim themselves, the service group that came for the week in the Beis Hamikdash, which was subdivided into 6 Batei Av, each Beis Av serving on a separate day. But at that point in the Mishnah, which was discussing the fasting during those fast series, the Anshei Maimod did not figure in the discussion. So with that, we are hoping to correct the mistake. Now we get back to today's shiur, which starts, as we said, on Daf Tes Zayin, 4 lines from the top. You'll notice in the Gemara itself, we've numbered 7 points. Rechov, Teva, Sakim, Efer, Efer, Kavura, Umoria, Simen. And Simen means these words would help to remind you, we'll say, of what the Gemara will be discussing. In other words, when you finish learning the Gemara and you look at these words, you'll know what the topics were. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written the following: Hanhogos Bizman Atziras Geshamim. Different practices that the Gemara will feature at the time of drought. And we also have a note, Heora, Chelik Mehem Muskar B'Mishnosenu. Some of these are mentioned in our Mishnah, Vashar B'Yushalmi. The other practices, Rashi quotes, the Yerushalmi mentions them, so that if you're looking in our Mishnah for the practices, they won't appear. But they do appear in the Yerushalmi, so the Gemara is working with that in mind, that there are several practices. Now, if you notice, in the numbering, we have number 7 appears in parentheses. The reason for that is that the reference to Moria, the Gemara will be asking what is the meaning of the name Har HaMoria. That is a separate issue. It has nothing to do with the Tainis Tzibor practices. The only reason that it's mentioned here is because, name-wise, the Gemara will point out that several of the points mentioned earlier were the subject of a machlokes, pligi bar Rabbi Levi, bar Cham of Rabbi Chanina. If you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a crown shape around the word pligi, introducing that point that Levi and Rabbi Chanina argue, and when you come to the point concerning Har HaMoria, they argue about that as well. That's the only reason it's featured in this list. It's what I like to call the name connection. The relationship to the rest of the Gemara is only by virtue of the same names, but not because of the content. And that point is made by Rashi further on in the Gemara. Okay, now we can turn to the Gemara itself. We mentioned the 7 points are a simen, and marking-wise, we open up with a triangle marking, which highlights the word lama, and a double underline follows the triangle. Then we note on the side under the mivneh that the triangle highlights the word lama, and then the double underline highlights the haminog, the practice that will be discussed. And what the Gemara deals with are hesberim laminhogim deliel. The Gemara will explain the different practices. From time to time, two opinions will appear, and the Gemara will ask, "My binai, what's the difference between the two reasons that are given?" And we highlight that with a slashed underline. The Gemara, lomo yoitzin lorachov. Now that practice was mentioned in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said that we take the teva. Motzien es hateva l'rechova shel'ir. So that was mentioned. Why do we do that? Why is it taken to the Aron, the holy ark, or the Aron Kodesh that holds the Sefer Torah? Why is it taken out into the street or into the plaza? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omar. Now we noted he's number one of two reasons. So he says, Lomar zo'aknu b'tzino, up till now, the first two series of fasts, we screamed, we prayed in private. Private is inside the shul, inside the synagogue, v'lo ne'enenu, and up till now, we haven't been answered. Nivazeh atzmenu b'farsi, we will disparage ourselves, embarrass ourselves, deprecate ourselves in public. And that's what happens when you move the Aron Kodesh and the Tzibur into the street to pray. That's considered a bizoyan. Reish Lakish Omar Galinu, we have exiled ourselves. In other words, we went out from the shul into the street. But that's the idea of leaving the shul or changing our original location. Galusenu Mechapera Solenu, let our exile atone for us. Might be nice. What's the difference between these two explanations? Iko binayo, the point of difference would be the goli mibei knishto lebei knishto, where they, let us say, they moved from one synagogue to another. So as far as Rabbi Chiyo's approach, you don't have a disparagement because you're not outdoors. But according to, see, that wouldn't accomplish what we're trying to do over here. But according to Reish Lakish, where the idea is leaving your original location, so even if you didn't go into the street but you went to a different synagogue, that is considered golus, and that would accomplish what we're trying to do here in these last 7 fast days. We continue with the next practice. We should emphasize that in the first practice, the rechov is the point of emphasis. And here, v'loma motzim es hateva l'rechovo shelir. Here, the emphasis is on the teva. Why is the holy ark containing the sacred Torah, why is that taken outside? Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lomar, it tells us, kli tsanua hoya lanu, we had a vessel of modesty, v'nisbaze ba'avonenu, and it has been disparaged through our sins. So we're demonstrating that the Aron Kodesh is also part of this disparagement, but because of our sins. V'lomo miskasin b'sakin, why the girding in sackcloth? Omer b'chiyo bar Abba, lomar hare onu chashuvin kebehemo. Sackcloth comes from goat hairs. So by wearing that material, we're demonstrating that we are no more important than animals. V'lomo noisim efrem maklau gabi teva. Why is ash put on the ark? Two approaches. Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, klomar It demonstrates Rimo on Noichi Betzora. The Holy Ark containing the Sefer Torah represents, purely in a representative fashion, the, we'll call it the concentrated presence of Hashem. So it shows that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is together with us. In other words, the ash is placed on the heads of the population, but not only that, but on the Holy Ark also. So that it demonstrates, as we said, that it's kivyochol, as if to say the Almighty is together with us in the drought. Reish Lakish Omar, b'chol tzorasom lo tzar, in all of their sufferings, he too feels suffering. Of course, kivyochol, as if to say. Omar Rabbi Zera, Meresh ki ava chazino lehu l'rabbonon. At first, originally, when I saw the rabbis, diavi eifer makla gabi teva, putting ash on the holy ark, mizdazeli kulugufoi, my entire body shuddered. V'loma noisen eifer barosh kol echod v'echod. Why is ash placed on the heads of every one? Pligibo Rabbi Levi Bar Chamov Rabbi Chaninan. We mentioned this new marking, the crown shape. There will be a few of these as the Gemara continues with these very two Rabbonin arguing with one another. Chad Omar, one says, Hare Anu Chashuvin Lefonecho Kefer, we're considered like ash in front of you. The Chad Omar Kidei Shiyizkor Lanu Efroi Shel Yitzchak. The ash helps to remind of the Akedas Yitzchak, literally the ash of Isaac, but let's not forget Yitzchak was never offered as a sacrifice, but the ash of the sacrifice that was offered instead of Yitzchak at the Akedas Yitzchak. So the ash serves to rekindle the memory of that event. My Binaya, what's the difference between the suggestion of our being considered lowly versus the suggestion of a commemoration of the Ola sacrifice offering of Avraham Avinu? My Binaya, what's the difference? Iko Binayu, or for Stam? What about using simple dirt? So, according to the approach that we're lowly like, we said ash, lowly like dirt, would fulfill the same goal. However, as far as commemorating a sacrifice is an animal that is burnt and turns into ash, not dirt. So that wouldn't accomplish it. Lomo yoitzin lebeis akvoros. Why do we practice going to a cemetery? Of course, again, this is featured in the Yerushalmi as one of the practices during these fast periods. Pligi bo, Rabbi Levi, Bar Chamo, Rabbi Chanina. Chad Omar, Hare Onu Chashuvin Lefanecho Kemesim. We are considered in front of you, like nothing more than the dead. The Chad Omar Kedei Sheyevakshu Aleinu Mesim Rachamim. The appearance in the cemetery is to arouse the spirit of the dead to pray in heaven on our behalf. My Binayu, what's the difference between these two approaches? Iko Binayu Kivrei Akum. Going to if one finds himself in a place where there's no Jewish cemetery, would he go to a cemetery in which idol worshippers are buried? So, if it's a matter of demonstrating that we are considered like the dead in front of you, that too would accomplish it. However, if it's an effort to have the spirit of the dead pray in heaven on our behalf, well, you wouldn't expect that of idol worshippers. My Har HaMoriah. Now, you can see, marking-wise, we don't have a triangle here because We're not introducing one of the practices, and we said this question here is not really related to anything before. That's why we also have a semicolon. The only reason it's brought here is because of the names. And Rashi makes that point under Dibur Masl Mayar Murray. He says, "Aidi de'airi beplukta de Rabbi Levi Rabbi Chanina tonanami hoplukta." And this type of Rashi is a Rashi that gives Gemara markings a great deal of, we'll say, license and legitimacy, where we try to highlight structural issues. That's pretty much the one of the goals of Gemara markings. And Rashi is very sensitive to structural matters, and he points these matters out all the time. So here we have one of those instances. What is the meaning? My Har HaMoriah, what is the meaning of that name? Now, Har HaMoriah, generally speaking, is associated with the place that Avraham Avinu brought his son Yitzchak in for what we call the Akedas Yitzchak, where the word Akedo means Yitzchak, the binding. He was bound with the thinking that he was going to be offered as a sacrifice, and of course that never happened. But he was bound. And the location was Har HaMoriah. If you study, you look at the Rashi carefully, and you look at Tosfos, you'll see that in the course of this discussion, there's another possibility for what Har HaMoriah might represent, but we're going to stick to the pshat that we just said, the place where Yitzchak was bound, and eventually the Beis HaMikdash was built on that site. So what is the meaning of the name? Pligi bar Rabbi Levi bar Chama Rabbi Chanino. Chal Omar Har Shiyotza Mimenu Hora Li Yisrael. The mountain from which Torah teaching goes forth to Israel. And the idea here is that we have another pasuk that says Ki Mitzion Teitze Sora, that from Zion shall come forth Torah. And that's based on the idea that the Sanhedrin, which the high court, which ruled on the halachic matters, on Torah matters, was located over there. And so that's the word Moriah, having the Shoresh, like the word Moreh, Hora'ah, which means teaching. The Chal Omar, another approach to Hamar, is Har Shiyotza Mimenu Moira. Moira is an expression of fear. Le'ovdei Kechofim, that they would be fear-struck by Har Hamar and what it represents. The Ovdei Kechofim, that is, the idol worshippers, would be fear-struck by that. And Rashi explains that they would hear the greatness of Israel and Jerusalem, and that would cause them to experience a sense of fear or possibly awe. Let's continue in the Gemara. Hazokein Shebohen Omer Lufneim Divrei Kivushin. We saw in the Mishnah that the elder would arise and say words of chastisement. Before we go further, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Tchunos Hadrushois, the necessary characteristics that are necessary l'mi sheroi lamoi lomar divrei kavushim l'tzibur umao isam dvarim. What are the characteristics of a person that has the right to rise in front of the congregation, in front of the community, and say words of chastisement? Of course, it's quite obvious that not just anyone has the right or has the license or is fit for that role. You're not going to want to have someone that's of an extremely, we'll call it, say, common, familiar nature, getting up and talking to the public in words of chastisement, when the obvious public reaction would be, who are you to tell us how to behave? So we have to have someone that has special characteristics. So the Gemara continues. Tonu Rabbanan, im yesh zokein o yimer zokein. If there is an elderly person, so let him say it. V'im lav o yimer chacham. And if not, so then have a wise man say the words. V'im lav omer odom shel tzura. And if not, then a person that has stature. And you can see in the Meforshim, a person of stature is a person, Rashi says, Baal Koimo, a person of height. Shishmu v'yikablu dvorav l'hamrich ha-salev, that will accept his words of chastisement and have their hearts softened. The Gemara asks on this source, the way the source was presented, it said that, well, if there's an elderly person, so the elderly person shall say, and if not, then have a wise man speak. That leaves you room to think that Otu Zokein de Koamri is the old man spoken of here. Afagab de Lav Hochamu, would we choose an old man even if he has no wisdom? That sounds ludicrous. Omar Abaye Hochi Ko Omar. So Abaye says, thusly, we should understand the source. Im Yesh Zokein Vehu Chocham, Omer Zokein Vehu Chocham. If there's an elderly man who happens to be wise and learned, then he is the one chosen. The Im Lav, Omer Chocham. And if not, so then at least someone who is wise, who is learned. The Im Lav, and if you don't have either of those, then Omer Odom Shel Tzura, then a person of stature should say. And what should he say? Achenu, brothers. And as we explained in our previous shir, this is a highly suggested opening where he is not speaking in a patronizing fashion from a position of superiority, but rather, brethren, brothers, I'm one of you, we're together. That's a wonderful opening in order to draw people into listening. Otherwise, you're eliciting an automatic rejection and, let's say, a curtain goes up where you're not going to accept what he's trying to say. But this is an opening. Brothers, lo sakvitainis gormim. It's not the sackcloth and the fasting that causes the arousal of heaven to have mercy on us, and latshuva maisim toivim, but rather it's penitence and good deeds, gormim, they cause. Shekein motzinu banshei Ninveh, like we've seen in the city of Ninveh, and we spoke about this in the mission, our previous shiur. Shalo ne'amar bohen, it does not say vayahu lekim esakom vestanisam. Now we should note, and we didn't mention this in our previous shiur, but in Paragimel Posuk Ches of Yonah, in Sefer Yonah, mention is made of the public wearing sackcloth. So it says that they put on sackcloth. However, in Posuk Yud, namely two psukim later, there in Sefer Yonah, when their tshuva is accepted, when their repentance is accepted, it says, Vayar. It says, Elo vayahu elekim es ma'aseihim kishavu midarkom hara'ah, that the Almighty noticed, he saw their ways, that they have chosen to, they chose a path of turning away from a path of wickedness, of evil. So that the method of arousing heavenly, the method of, let's say, arousing one to do penitence is through wearing sackcloth and through fasting. But that's in order to motivate us, the people, to change our ways. But when it comes to the Almighty, He is looking for the changed ways. Kishavu midarkam arah. He's not looking at our ritual behavior. But let us not minimize the significance of ritual behavior. However, when it comes to the Almighty truly responding, that depends on the outcome of our ritual behavior, namely that we have truly repented and chosen to abandon the path of wickedness. Now as we go on, we have a new marking, a volcano shape, and on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading, this shape indicates Psukim Miyona Paragimel. These are verses from Yonah Paragimel, and as we just cited the in the Tanaic source, Vayar Lekim Es Ma'aseihem, that is from Yonah Gimel. So since we mentioned that pasuk, we're going to try to understand several other psukim, and the double underline that you see is my, and the Gemara will be asking about a specific point in these quoted psukim. What was done, or what is the meaning of? These are hesberim. Me'achar shabraisa tzitita ha-posuk b'yoyne gimel, ha-gemara imshicha b'birur ha-pshat b'psukim noisofim shab'yoyne gimel. The point that we made but just before was that since the Braisa quoted a Pasuk from there, there are a few more Pasukim that we want to understand from that context. So we continue. Vayiskasu sakim ha'adam v'habehema. The man and animal girded themselves in sackcloth. My havu avdi, what were they doing? What was their intent by doing that? Osro habehemos luchud ves havlodos luchud. Osro, generally speaking, means they bound up. But it, in this context, it would mean that they separated the animals, the adult animals, and the offspring, each group of animals separately. Omru lefonov, and they announced, Ribbono Shelom, im ein ato merachim aleinu, if you don't have mercy upon us, ein onu merachimim aleilu, then we're not going to have mercy on these. That might very well be in a very simple fashion that if the Almighty doesn't provide rain, so we're not going to have food to feed the animals. So if you don't have mercy on us, we won't be able to have mercy on them. The Rashi has a slightly different pshat. He says, "Im ein ato merachim v'chulei klomar." This means to say, "Kishem shata oimer l'rachim al elu d'chtiv." Just like you say to have mercy on these, d'chtiv rachim of al komasov kain rachim aleinu. In other words, we're expected to show mercy on all the creatures, and there are other gemaras. If I'm not mistaken, the gemara in Bava Metzia with Maisa with Rebbe and other places in Shas where we're expected to have mercy on the animals. So just like you're expecting of us to have mercy on the animals, so too you should have mercy upon us. We continue with the next pasuk. Vayikru el Elokim b'chozka. My Omor says that they called out to the Almighty in a forceful fashion. What did they say? Omru lefonov, they said as follows, Ribbono shel olam, oluv v'she'eno oluv. The person that is, we'll say oluv is a meek individual, versus someone who is bold. Tzadik v'rosha, a righteous person versus a wicked person. Mi nidche v'pnei mi, who should be cast aside in favor of whom? So obviously the meek should be chosen, the righteous should be chosen. V'yashuvu, another pasuk, V'yashuvu ish midarka ra u'mina chomas asher bekapehem. And each man turned away from his evil path and from the theft in his hands. Mai u'mina chomas asher bekapehem. What is that phrase referring to, the theft in their hands? Omar Shmuel. So Shmuel explains the extent to which the Anshei Ninveh repented, afilu gozal morish ubonoi bebira. Even if they had taken a beam, a morish is a beam, a building beam, and inserted it, put it into a bira, into their bira is a type of structure. So they took a beam and put it into their structure. They were willing to knock down the by taking a, let's say, a main support beam, take it out of its position, thereby mekakeas to ruin the entire structure. They nevertheless did so. We should point out the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach Vava Mitbeis, and other places in Shas. The Halacha tells us that in the event that you stole a beam and inserted it into your structure, and by taking it out, you will ruin the structure. People would actually be deterred from repenting, from returning the theft. Because they realize that even though they stole the beam, but here they made a whole structure out of it. They're going to have to knock down their whole structure just to return one beam. So the halacha that's featured in the Gemaras is that what's called takonas hashavim, a special contingency to encourage people. Shavim means to repent. Just give the money value of the beam to the one from whom you stole it, and that is your way of doing repentance. However, in what we see here, and this is what Shmuel is emphasizing, that even in that case where they don't have to return the actual beam, they went beyond the letter of the law, and in order to do full-fledged repentance and returned the actual beam itself, even if they had built it into their homes or their structures. That's the meaning of the pasuk of the chomos, the theft that's in their hands. They relinquished, they gave back, they returned the actual item that was in their possession. Omar of Ado Bar Ava, Odom Shesh Biodo Avero Umisvade, a person who, and now here we're using Rashi's pshat. The word avera means a sin. Here specifically, a person who has theft in his possession, umisvade, and confesses, yeah, I stole that. V'eino chozerbo, and doesn't return the stolen item. Lemahu doima, what is he comparable to? L'odom shetoifes sheretz biodo, a person who's holding a sheretz. A sheretz is a type of creature, a dead sheretz is a sheretz, generally speaking, is translated as a crawling thing, but it's a reference to specific creatures that impart defilement, impart tuma to the one who has contact with them. Let's take, for example, a dead mouse. So imagine someone holding a dead mouse in their hands. Now that makes them tomei. Shafilu toivo b'chol meimais sheb'oilam, even if he attempts to immerse himself in all the waters of the world, all the large bodies of water that can afford a person in general, can afford them purification, lo also loy tvila, that immersion isn't going to help him. As long as he's holding the sheretz in his hand, the parallel to our fellow who tries to repent, and that's the equivalent of going to the mikveh, to immersing yourself in the ocean, let's say, it's not going to work as long as the theft is still in your possession. The repentance is meaningless. However, zarkoi miyado, if, however, he casts away the sheretz from his hand, he throws it away, kevan shetoval be'arboim saw, if as long as he immerses himself, once he immerses himself in the minimum requirement for a mikveh, for a ritual bath, is called 40 saw. It's a measure of 40 saw, 3 cubic amas of water. That's 40 saw. Miyad also lo tvila. Immediately, the immersion will have its desired purification effects. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk from Mishlei, we wrote on the side of the Pasuk, on the side of our Gemara, the Pasuk, Mishlei Chav Ches Pasuk Yigimel, says, Mechaseb Shav Lo Yatzliach, one who covers his sins, just by covering them over, he's not going to be successful. However, the Gemara continues with the end of the Pasuk, Umoide V'oizev Yerucham, one who confesses and abandons the sin, in this case he returns the theft, Yerucham, he will be beneficiary of mercy. He will receive the mercy of Hashem. V'oimer, another pasuk says, Nosa levavenu el kapayim el keil bashamayim. Rashi explains, Nosa levavenu el kapayim, the word el means im hakapayim, tzorach lisa halev hashamayim. Klomar shiyachzur mikil kulo. It's not enough to pray. That's the heart, the matter of the heart, but the kapayim, the hands, and actually we saw in a previous Gemara, the word kapayim could in fact refer to something like in this case, it refers to the theft that you have in your possession. So that you, once you return the theft, the stolen item, then you achieve the forgiveness of the atonement from heaven. Omdu b'tfila, moridim lufnei ateva, zokein v'chulei, and after the words of chastisement, now comes the actual prayer. And then we're going to be looking here at the side of the Gemara under the Nosei, tchunos hadrushos, the required elements, the requirements, the required characteristics, Leos Shliach Tzibur, to be the one to lead the community in prayer. Tonu Rabbanan. Omdu b'tfilo. Afal pi sheyesham zokein v'chocham. In terms of they stood now to pray, even though there's someone that is an elderly sage, ein morin lefnei ateva elo odom harogil. The one who's going to lead in the prayers has to be someone that is a regular in formulating prayers, in pronouncing the words. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Rabbi Yehuda adds qualifications. Metupol ve'enlo. Metupol means someone who has dependents and he doesn't have the means of supporting them. The goal in this is to have someone who is going to lead a heartfelt prayer, someone who feels the need for heavenly compassion. So if someone has dependents and he doesn't have the means of supporting them because of the drought, so he's going to pray with extra dedication, extra additional fervor. V'yesh lo yigeh basoda. We also would want to have someone that has a field that needs tending to. Yigeh, that efforts need to be exerted in his field. He's got crops that he's planted and he needs the water desperately. U'besoy reikom. And literally, his house is empty. Upirkoi noe. Now, when we beso rekom, we gave a literal translation. The Gemara will get back to this later. Upirkoi noe. Rashi says that this will be explained later. Ushval berach means a person who is humble. Umutzalom, he is someone that the public finds pleasant. V'yeshlo na'ima v'koilu orev. He knows how to sing and has a pleasant voice. In other words, it's not only does he know how to carry a tune, but his voice is also pleasant. Uboki, he's expert. Likros b'toro ubenavim ubiksuvim. He knows psukim, and Rashi says that it's important for him to know the psukim because the prayer is made up of many verses from the holy scriptures, from the Tanakh, from the Torah, Nevi'im Uksuvim. V'lishnois b'medrash b'halochus b'agodois. We also want him to be knowledgeable of medrash, of midrashic literature, halochus, legal teachings, u'b'agodos and agadic material, u'boki b'chol ha'brochos kulin. He's also expert in all the brochos. We've mentioned in the past that when learning these sukkiyos, one should bear in mind that, take into consideration that, in all likelihood, the prayers were done by heart. The availability of a sitter is not something that one should necessarily assume. Even though that there is a bit of a problem that's worthy of a separate discussion, or if that assumption is correct, that gets one involved with an issue of Devorim Shebiksav I Atorashoy Laomer Alpeh, things that are from quotes from the written Torah, from the scriptures, cannot be said by heart. That's a big discussion. There's a Tosfos and Tumura to look into, and I believe in Maseches Gittin also. It's a big discussion. But whatever the case is, we want fluency. That's the goal. V'yavu be'rabbonon einayu, and the Rabbonon looked upon Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Ami. He is the one that had all of these characteristics. So if you knew Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Ami, so then you would know what kind of person we are looking for. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. A question is raised. Hainu metupol ve'enlo, hainu beis orekom. There were two expressions that now seem to be redundant. You said that the shliach tzibur should be someone who has dependents and he has no means of supporting them. And, well, that's what an empty house is. He has nothing in his house. He has no means of support. Omer Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda explains that the expression beis orekom, the emptiness, is not a financial description. Rather, zehu shebeso reikom min ho'avera. That's a person that has no sin in his house. And Rashi is more specific, and he says there's no theft in his house. Upirkoi noe. Omar Abaye, what does that mean? Zesh shelo yotzo shem ra bialdusa. This is someone that even in his youth had a sterling reputation. They didn't know no shame ra, no bad name, bad reputation, even in his youth. The pasuk in Yirmiyo says, "Hoiseli nachlosi karye bayoar, nosno lai bekoilo al kain sne siha, mai nosno olai bekola." What does that mean? Now, this pasuk describes someone sounding their voice and that eliciting antagonism. Sino is hate. Well, so what is this voice that arouses this antagonism? Omar Marzucho Bar Tuvi Omar Ravi Amrilo, another version of names, Omar Rabbi Chamo, Omar Rabbi Olozer, Zesh Shliach Tzibur Sheino Hogun Hayore Lifnei Ateva. This is someone who leads the prayers who is not fit for doing so. We saw in the Mishnah that on the fast days, there are 24 benedictions in the Shmone Esrei, which by name otherwise would have 18 brachas. How do we account for this? So you have your basic 18 that you recite every day, and an additional 6 new brachas are added. The Gemara asks, and we mentioned this when we were learning the Mishnah, Hani She Shefa Havyon. What do you mean 6 are added? When you read on in the Mishnah, you find 7 Kiddusnan. It says, this is a quote from the Mishnah, Al Hashvius, regarding the 7th added bracha, Hu Omer Baruch Merachim Alaretz. That's the signature blessing of the 7th edition. So why do you say 6 are added when the Mishnah specifically refers to a 7th? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my Shvius. What is the reference to the 7th? Shvius La'aruka. It's the 7th of the long passages that are in the fast day Shmona Esrei. So as we spend time in the Mishnah, we'll mention it again now. There are 6 brand new brachas. However, before you insert the 6 brand new brachas in the middle of the Shmone Esrei, when you get to the bracha of the daily bracha, we call it what ends with Goyel Yisrael, that bracha is itself, even though it's a daily bracha, it's expanded, it's broadened. So that is the first of the elongated brachas, and then 6 new brachas are added, which happen to be lengthy in nature. So when the Mishnah goes on to say that on the 7th he closes with Baruch Merachim Alaretz, it means the 7th of that which is long. Kiddusanyo. And we have a Tanaic source that spells these points out, and you should note that we have a very long Tanaic source, and basically the balance of this page, in all, for all practical purposes, is Tanaic literature. What it does is it parallels what we saw in the Mishnah with some additional points of information. So, on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading where we note Ma Oinin Al Kol Brachu Bracha. What is the response of the congregation upon hearing each bracha recited? Begvulin means outside the Beis HaMikdash, you would answer, Omein, that everyone is familiar with, that's standard practice. However, Bamikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't say Omein, they would rather say, at the conclusion of a bracha, they would say, Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. We're going to discover that the text of the Beis HaMikdash brachas itself was different than our standard text of brachas. So we continue now in the Gemara, bearing in mind that the immediate matter at hand is how to resolve the, you say, 6 additional brachas, and then you say that the signing of the 7th added bracha. So we said that the 7th means the 7th of the long brachas that are inserted. But Goyel Yisrael, now Goyel Yisrael is one of the weekday brachas, Ma'arich, you elongate it. U'b'choismo omer, and as the signature bracha of the Goyel Yisrael, you say, Mi sha'onas Avram Behara Moriah, he who answered Avram Avinu at the Mount of Moriah, Hu yane eschem v'yishma b'kot tzachaschem hayom hazeh, should hearken unto our cries, Baruch Goyel Yisrael. V'heino ninachrov, Amen. And the community responds with the Amen response. The Chazan HaKnesses Omer Lahem, and the official that's appointed to oversee that which takes place in the prayers, he says, Tik'u b'nei Aaron tik'u, a call for them to blow the shofar. And then, Mishonas Avoseinu al Yamsuf, Hu Yan Eschem Mishma b'kol tzakasem hayom hazeh, Baruch Zocher Hanishkochos. Now this is the first, this is the signature of the first of the six added brachas. So that's the sign off of that first of the six additional brachas. V'heinon in achrov amen. V'chazan haknesses omer, and the official instructs and says, Omer lehem horiu b'nei Aaron horiu. Sound the shofar. V'chein b'chol bracha u'bracha. And likewise, this happens with each bracha. There's a successive shofar blowing ba'achas omer tiku in uba'achas omer hariu. After one bracha, he would say, sound the tekiya, which essentially means tekiya, trua tekiya. And after the next bracha, he would say hariu, which means trua tekiya trua. And that alternating shofar blowing would take place after each subsequent bracha in an alternating fashion. When is it that omein is the response to the conclusion of a bracha? Bigvulin, gvun is a term meaning outside the Beis Hamikdash. Avol b'mikdash eino came, but in the Beis Hamikdash it was not like that. L'fishein oinin omein b'mikdash. The response to a bracha is not omein. Uminayin shein oinin omein b'mikdash. And from where do we know that you don't respond with the omein response in the Beis Hamikdash? Shenemar. The pasuk says in Nehemiah perek tes pasuk hey, kumu borchu es Hashem elikechem min ha'olam ad ha'olam vivorchu shein kevodecha umeroimam al kol bracha utehila. So in this pasuk we see a bracha is made, and then after the bracha, which is represented by the term Baruch Hu Es Hashem Elokeichem Min Olam V'ad Olam, then the response is V'yivorchu Shem Kevoidecha, which means Baruch Shem Kevod Malchus Olam V'ed. Yochol Al Kol Brachas Kulon Lo Te'elo Te'ilo Achas. Could it be that there's only one response for all the brachas? In other words, all the brachas would be recited without any response, and only after all the brachas, then one response. Talmud Lomar, not so. Umeroimam al kol brachu tila, which means al kol bracha, on each bracha, tain lo tila. You say the response, you say the praise. And outside the Beis Hamikdash, that's amen, and in the Beis Hamikdash, it's what we said, but now here the Bryce itself deals with it. V'yelo ma b'mikdash ma omer. What is the bracha in the Beis Hamikdash? Now the response we mentioned was Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Ved. But the text of the bracha, what was it like in the Beis Hamikdash? Now we say Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael, for example. In the Beis Hamikdash, they would say Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam Baruch Goel Yisrael. V'hein oinin achrov Baruch Shem Kevoid Machuso v'olam v'ed. And that was the response. V'chazan HaKnesses Omer Lohem, the official appointed to oversee the prayers, would then command Tiku akoinim b'nei Aaron tiku. Sound the shofar. V'chozer v'omer. And now Rashi points out that this v'chozer v'omer that even though we just heard the Goel Yisrael response, which began with Mi Sha'ona Esavim Ba'aramura, the Chazan HaKnesses would say it again. This is not the cantor, it's not the Shliach Tzibur, but it's the Chazan HaKnesses that instructed for the shofar to be sounded. He would say, Mi Sha'ona Esavim Ba'aramura, Huyane Eschem, Vishma B'Kos Chazchem, Ayom Azeh, Baruch HaShem, Elokei Yisrael, Minon V'Alolom, Zocher Hanishkochos. We have to, unfortunately, we just made a mistake. We must correct ourselves. What we said is true, but not at this point. We gave a correct explanation for the wrong piece of information. So let's go over this point again. We saw that the Chazan HaKnesses said Tiku Koinim Bnei Aaron Tiku, that was after the Broch of Goel Yisrael. V'chozer, this is the Shliach Tzibor. He then picks up, after the shofar blowing, the Chozer, the Shliach Tzibor, would continue with the next bracha. Mi sh'ones avrom ba'amuro hu'yan eschem v'yishma b'kol tzakaschem ayom hazeh, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael minu om v'ad olam, zocher hanishkochos. This is from the, in the Beis HaMikdash. V'hein oinin achrov baruch shem kevod malchus olam v'ed. The Chazan HaKnesses, Omer Lem, and the appointed one would instruct for the shofar to be sounded, Horiyu HaKoinim Bnei Aaron Horiyu, v'chulei. V'chein b'chol bracho bracha, and likewise with regard to each bracha. B'achas Omer Tiku, u'b'achas Omer Horiyu. In each one in an alternating fashion, one would be a tkia trua tkia, and then the next bracha, trua tkia trua, ad shegomer es kulan, until all of the brachas were completed. V'chein hinig Rabbi Chalavda b'tzipori v'Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion b'sichni. Tzipori was the place of Rabbi Chalavda, and Sichni was the name of Rabbi Chananya's place. They did the same thing, meaning that they had they did not have Omein as the response, but they apparently did like in the Beis HaMikdash with the Boruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam V'ed. Ukshabo Dover Lefnei Chachomim, when the Chachomim became aware of what they were doing, Omru, they responded and said, Lo hayu noyagim kein ela b'sharei Mizrach u'bahar Abayis. That practice was not done anywhere other than in the at the eastern gates of the Temple Mount of the Har Abayis. The Amri Kedesanya. This is like another version of what we saw in the Tanaic source we read till now. We have another version. Omer Lefneim Esen V'Arba Brochas. There would be 24 brochas recited on the fast day. Shmoin Esrei Shebechol Yoim, the 18 of every day, the standard 18. Umoysef Aleim Oit Sheish, with an additional 6 added. The Oysan Sheish Heichan Omron, where would the 6 be inserted? Bain Goyel Leroy Fecholi, between the Brocha of Goyel Yisrael and the Brocha of Refa'enu, in which we ask for healing. Umarich Begula, and the Brocha of Goyel Yisrael would itself, even though it was one of the weekday Brochas, would be elongated. V'hein oinin achrov, omein, al kol, brocha, brocha. And they would, after each brocha, the omein would be the response. V'kach hoyu noagim begvulin. And that was the practice outside the Beis HaMikdash. Avol b'mikdash hoyu omrim. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they would say, as the text of the brocha, instead of a simple Baruch Ato Hashem Goel Yisrael, they would say this. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Blessed be the God of Israel from this world to the next. Baruch Goel Yisrael. V'lo hayu onin achrov amen. In the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't answer amen. V'chol kach lama. Why is it that way? L'fi she'en onin amen b'mikdash. Because amen is not the appropriate response in the Beis HaMikdash. U'menayin she'en onin amen b'mikdash. And from where do we know that? Shinemar, and this is the same source that we saw quoted before. Kumu Baruch Es Hashem Elokeichem Min Ho'olam V'Ad Ho'olam. That's the reference to the text of the bracha itself. V'yivorchu Shem Kavodecha, and the response of on the part of the people is to say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam V'Ed Umuramam Umuramam Al Kol Bracha Utihila, which tells us Al Kol Bracha Bracha Tein Lo Tihila. And for each bracha that was recited, there would be a separate response, separate praise. and in the, as we said, in the Beis HaMikdash, that would be Boruch Shem Kvod Malchuson Vod for each bracha, and outside the Beis HaMikdash, a simple Amen. Tonu Rabbanan. Al HaRishona, we're reading Rishona in accordance with the Rashash. He says that the reading should be on the first instead of the text in the Gemara. So on Al HaRishona, Omer Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Minu Olam Ve'ad Olam Baruch Goyel Yisrael. That's the first of the elongated brachas. V'hein Oinin Achra Baruch Shem Kvod Machasol Olam Vo'ed. That, of course, was in the Beis HaMikdash. V'chazan HaKnesses Omer Tiku Koyanim Tiku. Sound the shofar. V'chozer V'omer. Now, here, this is the pshat that we said mistakenly before, but he then repeats the Chazan HaKnesses, the one who made the instructed them to sound the shofar. He would then repeat Mishon es Avram Avinu es Avram Bahar Amuro Hu Yane Eschem Vishma B'Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Azeh. V'Al Hashniyah Hu Omer, and now the Shliach Tzibur, who was saying the prayer, would say Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Olam V'Ad Olam Baruch Zocher Hanishkochos V'Hein Oinin Achrov Baruch Shem Kevod Machzolom V'Ed. V'chazan HaKnesses Omer, sound the shofar, he said, Hariyu b'nei Aaron Hariyu. And here there's a text that we're taking from the Mitzvah Eson. He inserts over here, V'heim Riyim v'toikin Riyim. And after he instructed them to do it, to sound the shofars, they sounded the shofars. V'omer, mi sh'ona s'avoyseinu al yamsuf, hu yana eschem v'yishma b'kol sa'akaschem hayom azeh. And the next phrase, we're following here what the Marsha did before. He took out the phrase V'hein Toikin Rim V'Toikin. It seems that we would take that out, and the text that we read with the Mitzvah Eson had seemed to have inserted it the line just before. Whatever the case is, the same theme applies. Of the bracha was said, there was a shofar sounding, and the Oimer Mishon es Avosenu al Yamsuf, Hu Yane Eschem Vishma B'Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Azeh. And okay, we read that. We just read that. We read it again. V'chein v'chol brocha brocha. Likewise with each brocha. Ba'achas Omer Tiku u'ba'achas Omer Hariu. Ad Shigmor es Habrochas Kulan. At the end of one brocha, so it would be a tkia sounded first, and after the other brocha, the next brocha a trua, the third brocha again go back to the tkia first, and continuing on that way. V'chein hineg Rabbi Chalafta b'tzipori v'Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyan b'sichni. U'ksheba dover etzol chachomim, when the chachomim heard about Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chananya omru lo hoyu noagim kain. That's not the practice of avoiding Omein, and rather saying Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso Elo Beshare Mizrach Uvahara Bayis, only in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Lo Hoyot Sorach Lomar Zichronos V'chulei. Omer Rav Ado Demin Yafo. Rav Ado from Yafo says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that there would be no mention of Zichronos? The Zichronos are the, according to the Tanakhama, it's the passage that we say on Rosh Hashanah was said on these public fast days. So Rav Ada says, it comes to explain why the Tana Rav Yehuda says you don't do that. The Gemara continues at the top of Yud Zayin Omer Aleph Ela Barosh Hashanah B'yolos U'B'Shas Milchama. There is a specific time for Zichronos and Shofros, and that is on Rosh Hashanah. Yovel is the jubilee year, once every 50 years, on Yom Kippur of the Yovlos, and at the time of war. But outside of that, on a public fast day, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't say these Zichronos and Shofros passages. So he, as we saw in the Mishnah, he has his alternative replacement for those two brachas. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you are interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.